demand.
Hi, I'm Jim Stroud.
And this is Karen Matinen, and welcome to the Recruiter's Lounge.
The Recruiter's Lounge is a podcast of news, interviews, and commentary on the recruiting industry. And it was designed with you in mind. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your time in the Recruiter's Lounge.
SGA, Executive Tracker Pro, is an online service providing contact information on thousands of executives at each of the top public and private companies. And hear this, people. It is 100%, yes, 100% telephone verified, constantly updated, highly accurate, and comprehensive. With SGA Executive Tracker Pro, you have at your fingertips the contact information of C-level executives and all of those essential director and management level personnel that you just can't seem to find anywhere else. Listen up, people. SGA Executive Tracker Pro can dramatically shorten the amount of time it takes you to find the best leads. Hey, pick up the phone right now and give them a call. Tell them Jim Stroud said I could have a free 15-minute online demonstration of your product, and I want to see it right now. The number you need to make that happen is 518-843-4611. That's 518-843-4611. And, of course, you can also find them online at www.sgaexecutivetracker.com.
All right. We're going to get funky right now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Welcome to another fun, exciting time here in the Recruiter's Lounge. I'm your host with the most, Jim Stroud, and sitting beside me is my co-hostess, Karen Madden. How are you, Karen?
He stopped saying it.
You know, I was fighting it. I was fighting it. I was about to say, like I normally say, my co-hostess is here, looking as lovely as she'll ever get. But I didn't say it.
It was a strain. The lovely, most wonderful, most beautiful Karen Madden. I'll say it this time.
Okay, you say it this time. Introduce yourself.
Okay, I introduce myself. Okay, hey, everyone, it's Karen Madden. I'm the one that's sitting right next to wonderful Jim Stroud. How are you guys doing?
That's good. Okay, that'll do. How was your weekend?
I had a fantastic time, actually. I was doing some reviewing and some work for a class that I'm planning to come up and train recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at all of this, you know, information out there in the industry and trying to compare and connect dots around here.
You did more than me because I purposely did not turn on my computer for, like, the whole weekend, which is a shock. I know it's a shock.
Okay, I've got a heart attack. What's going on here, Jim?
I know
God,
the shot.
Okay, I don't believe it.
Well, you know, I had to just disengage myself and just, you know, I don't know, get into the zen-like state, sit down like a yogi and just go home and just disconnect from all technology for a while.
Did it work there?
Yeah, I was able to get some rest. I was able to play with my daughter and chase my wife around a little bit. That's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good. It was, especially since it was an extended weekend.
He needs this, trust me. He really does.
So
he stays up to like midnight sometimes.
No, that's early. That's early. If you're not working 14 hours a day, you're not really working, are you?
No, I guess not, huh?
At least that's how it is over here with me.
Well, anyways, I wanted to talk about something.
Yes.
Okay, I wanted, because I was basing about what I was, you know, we were talking about what I did this weekend, right?
Yep.
I'm kind of like going on the internet and I'm kind of checking out all this stuff that's going on, and I'm noticing that there's a lot of trainers in this industry.
I remember we were talking about this before.
Mm-hmm. A lot of trainers. In fact, I got to tell you, I was wondering, how do people find good trainers in this industry? I mean, there's a lot of people out there that I do not respect in any shape, way, or form. And the reason I don't respect them, and this is where I've had problems in this industry, is because I straight out will say how I feel in regards to some what I see as erroneous training.
Mm.
People patting themselves so hard on their back till their arm hurts, not because they deserve to do so, but because these one-hit wonders, as I call them, because you usually can tell them. They go out and they train, and then they never get called back.
Right. Okay? I know we were talking about that before, but, yeah, you can see how good someone is by how many times they've returned back to the same place.
Yeah, and you know what? Also, you can also tell how good they are because you can see how few or how many people have come back and said, I've actually used their product, and it works.
Right, by unsolicited testimony as opposed to getting people to say something nice and posting it on
their site.
Well,
yeah, because, I mean, I've seen people say, I've taken the class, but never I've done the class, and I've done it well. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I've never seen anybody say, I've taken the class and practiced it, and it works. I've never seen a lot of that with several of these trainers, okay? And so what my complication was, how can you tell when a guy or gal, is really good?
I guess that's where word of mouth comes in a lot. I mean, because you can always ask around and see, you know, what people have taken before and say, okay, I'm taking a training in X. You know, have you guys taken a training? Is it any good?
Yeah, and I don't know, because there are some people out there who will say, go ahead and use X, John or Mary or whoever, because they have proclaimed themselves as being so good, or the training has proclaimed themselves, or the school has trained up themselves as being so great, that it's kind of like the emperor's new clothes. I really do believe that there is a lot of emperor's new clothes going out there. There's a program out there that provides certification. And I've heard more negative things about it, but yet people want to go ahead and say, oh, we will hire you if you have this certification. And I'm like, why? I mean, I'm sorry, but
well, that could just – well, yeah, I know you're going with that. That could just be – so your argument is that that particular company just has good marketing spend and people are buying into the marketing, but the training itself is not that great?
I personally think there's a lot of emperor's new clothes going on. It's like people keep hyping it up because they don't know better, A, or B, with the time that they've taken the training and they've gotten to know better, okay, and they realize that the training really wasn't that good, that they're not willing to talk out against it because, hey, you talk out against it, you might get kicked off of a network. I got a question to ask.
Okay,
is there possibly a way we could bring a friend of mine on? There's a trainer that I respect tremendously. I think he's truly one of the best trainers in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
You think we could call him?
Yeah, see why not.
Okay. I'll go ahead and instant message you the telephone number. Go give him a call if you can and see if we can bring him. I want to ask him what he thinks about this industry right now.
Okay, hold on one second. Okay, we're on the line now with Doug Beabout. Doug, are you there?
Hi, folks. How are you?
The folks are all saying hello. They're yelling back at the podcast saying, hello, Doug.
Okay.
Hey, I'm here.
Doug, I got a question to ask you. I just asked Jim to bring you on for a reason, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a conversation with Jim in regards to this industry, in regards to trainers. Now, you've been a trainer for about how long? 20, 30 years? What?
20-some years.
Okay.
27 years.
And you've been 20,
20-some. I've been a practitioner for 30, but I've been in training about the last 20 or so. Mm-hmm.
I believe that it's, you know, there's a lot of trainers out there, and I think there's a lot of trainers who have been touting themselves as being the best trainers out there, and because of that, like an emperor's new clothes kind of a deal, people think they're great, but then even when they take the classes, find out it's not that great, aren't willing to pipe up and say, hey, you know, that's not really true. Now, I've taken your training, and you're one of the few trainers out there, probably only trainer out there, who's actually a practicing recruiter. And I've taken your training. In fact, I learned this industry by taking your training. And it is truly one of the best, if not the best in the industry.
Well,
my personal opinion, okay?
Well, let me ask you this, Karen, and ask you this too, Doug, because I think you said something really interesting there, Karen. You said, Doug, that you actually practice what you preach. You're recruiting and training at the same time.
I made a decision many years ago when I was introduced to the concept of becoming a trainer in the industry. I was actually doing training as an executive vice president of operations for a major franchisor that was an international franchisor of recruiting firms. And at the time, I was in charge of the daily operation of over 120 search firms all over the world. And so although at that point I wasn't working a desk, quote unquote, I think by proxy I was running about 500 desks. And, you know, on a daily basis, I got the phone call when no one else could figure out how to heal the wound or fix the problem or mend the break.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the training. I enjoyed the mentoring. I enjoyed the coaching. But I missed the practice. And so when I left that and I went on my own, I was given a phone call by several of the organizations in the industry to come out and speak. In that tenure that I had as an executive vice president of operations, as an executive officer in that company, I had hired the majority of the speakers at the time in the industry, some of whom are still around, to come in as keynotes, to come in and do breakout sessions and featured speakers at conferences and workshops that are being held by the franchisor for our franchise community. And I met a gentleman named Terry Petra. And I brought him in to speak. He did a wonderful job down in New Orleans. And Terry actually had made the suggestion to me that I would want to consider doing it. So I gave it serious thought because I respected Terry. But he also gave me some great advice, left-handed advice. But he made a point of saying that he would never leave the practice to depend on training as an income producer. And when I heard that, what it translated to in my head was you also need to maintain the credibility with your audience that's necessary for you to effectively help them. Because at the end of the day, in any performance-based business, this isn't unique to recruiting, but in any performance-based business, and what I mean by that is performance-based income generation, you either produce or you don't, you either kill or you don't eat, in our business, any speaker, trainer, coach, or mentor who was in the business and decided to go out and do training now and share his wealth of wisdom, I think it's a noble ambition on the part of anyone that attempts to do that. But on the other hand, the problem is this is an industry that in 30 years that I've been in it has evolved and evolved and evolved, and it just keeps shifting and changing and morphing because of the changing economic and social strata of our country and industry. Every time a wave of new technology comes in, or in the case we're in right now where you've got an entire generation of people that was massive, the baby boom was just that. It was a boom in population. Well, all the baby boomers are going out the door. They're leaving a massive vacuum behind them, not just in manpower, and not just in professional employment departures, but in the insight and the knowledge and the wherewithal that they had about building organizations. And that departure was pretty much, enacted upon in the late 90s and in the early years of this century, and so we went through a recession right afterwards. So you've seen many companies out there took a sabbatical on how to hire. The problem that I see with trainers who lack industry hands-on current experience is if they were practitioners in the 90s and have been training for the past 5 or 6 years, they're really not training something that works today. And if they are training something that works today, it's not because they've done it. It's because they've learned how new people are doing it. So I think there's a vacuum of credibility there.
There's another thing I want to bring out here, too, okay? Because I see a lot of these people who are also calling themselves trainers. They're training without experience based upon they just want to pretend. They're being erroneous in their biographies or their industry experience. They'll say, I've had recruiting experience. Or I've even heard people say, well, you don't have to have recruiting experience to be a trainer.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Are you saying that you've seen people out there change the biographies to?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
I mean, there is some big names out there who changed their biography.
But why would you change your biography if it's so easy to be verified? That doesn't make any sense.
I just think that's incredulous. But what I also find is the people who say, oh, you don't have to be a recruiter or never had to be a recruiter to be able to train in recruiting.
How can you? So could someone say, I can train you to be a lawyer even though I've never passed a bar exam?
Well, yeah, but I guess there's a lot of people who think that too. I mean,
that's kind of incredible. I can't imagine anyone making those kind of claims and saying those type of things when, one, whatever it's written in a biography can be verified easily, and two, who would say you don't have to pass the bar exam to be trained as a lawyer, for example.
I don't think you have to pass the bar exam to be trained as a lawyer. I think as long as you went to bar, you know, you took the school, you went to school, and you passed maybe the school, you know, law school exam, okay, and you actually have been educated in how to do it, okay? Doesn't mean you have to have actually kind of gone out there, but I don't think you could tell a person how to be a lawyer, actually how to practice the actual talent of being a lawyer, unless you've been there yourself.
Let me ask Doug this. Doug, have you heard of people changing their biography or basically just blowing a bunch of smoke to sell some training? Have you ever heard of people doing something
course.
Like that?
There's always going to be someone at some point who sees an opportunity. Sometimes these people will I don't know how to say this in a gentle way, but, I mean, I see sometimes where speakers or trainers in our industry, at least, that speak or train to our industry, come in with this experiential bio that is misleading in what they've actually done or not done. And
I call it creative license. They're taking the work, the word creative license, artistic license, to a new level.
Well, I think the worst thing about it isn't so much the act of doing that as much as it is, you know, people who are at conferences, people who go to seminars, people who pay for webinars, pay for something that they feel they really need. And, you know, they're supporting families, they're breadwinners, they're trying to support themselves and develop. They have a commitment to excellence, which our industry should treasure and covet, anyone who has that kind of dedication to excellence. But the problem is, if they go to a session that's conducted by someone who touts that they are this or they're that when they're not...
Expert. They use the word
expert. The problem is they're human beings. We're not all doubting Thomases. And they'll go into a seminar, they'll listen to what someone says, they'll leave and go out and do what they're told to do.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they lack the real experience necessary to judge the actions they've been told to take.
Okay, I'm going to give you an example of one in particular, okay? I'm not mentioning any names. This individual was touting something that was actually very illegal, and I contacted this person and said, hey, you know what? You shouldn't be probably telling people about this stuff because doing this act here is illegal, and it can get your people in a lot of trouble. In fact, there's a $20 billion lawsuit right now with a small-town company here in California regarding this. This individual said, I said highly irresponsible is what I used, okay? This person said, I don't care. It's not my responsibility. He says, I hear about something that sounds like a good idea. I'll write about it or I'll teach train about it. It's up to the client to find out if it's legit or not. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility
well,
is
to bring there, there have been, back in the days of the Wild West, there were people that rode around in covered wagons selling snake oil that was supposed to cure all diseases. And, you know, P.T. Barnum said, never give the sucker an even break. But those aren't justifications for what they're doing.
And
anyhow, you know,
I think,
though, on the same note, Karen, there are a lot of new paradigms, a lot of new practices that are essential to not just the creation of wealth and success for recruiters, but over the course of the next 5 to 8 years, these programs are going to become survival kits for recruiters, because I don't think the option exists anymore for recruiters to just earn a living.
Well, you know,
I think you're either going to create wealth or you're going to perish.
No, I agree with what you're saying. And the thing is, one of the reasons I've always respected your training is because you know what you're talking. And if you don't know what you're talking about, you're not going to talk about it. You're not going to pretend to be something you're not. You're not going to go ahead and try to pretend you're an HR specialist or a recruiting specialist when you've never even picked up a phone.
Well, I don't have to because I don't. I run a recruiting firm. Training's never been the core of my support. It's not the third leg on a stool for me.
Well, that's true. And the thing is, but with regards to what we're talking about, regards to these trainers that we're speaking of, I mean, what part I get and what you were discussing, I think that there's a danger in it because it hurts our industry even more. You've got someone who's got this reputation, who's clouded himself in a shroud of, as I said, the emperor's new clothes. He or she are going out there and training a material they don't have any clue about because they write a question on ERE or LinkedIn or some website and say, hey, let's discuss this. And then they'll ask this question, and then they get all these responses, and then all of a sudden now they become a pro in it because they write an article about it.
Well, I think the answer to the situation you're describing is really pretty simple. I think the simplest thing is to do your diligence as a recruiter. If you want to go to a conference, if you want to go to any of the national conferences or one perhaps in your state or region, and you see the agenda and you see the speakers that are there, I think what you do is you read their bios, and then you make a few phone calls and you talk to some of your mentors or some of the senior people you know of in the industry and get some feel for the background of the individual you want to go sit down with. If the offering they put in there, you know, the takeaways and the paragraphical description of the session compels you to want to sit in on it, I think what you need to do is do your diligence like you would for anything. If you're going to buy a car, you do your diligence. If you're going to invest in your career, do your diligence and take a hard look at the person's background. Take a look at them and say, okay, this is a practitioner who's working here now. I don't doubt that what they present will be at least functional. Whether it will be an improvement over what I do or not, you won't know until you take the session, but it's at least functional. If you look at someone's background and you say, I don't really see any immediate or present evidence of the person in the business. You know,
but
do a name search. Do a Boolean search.
Yeah, do a Boolean search because a lot of these, I mean, as I said, just recently at a conference, there was a particular individual who wrote a bio, and I mean, I'm like looking at this bio, and I'm like, this person doesn't have this experience, nor this experience, and never did this. I can't believe this person's even speaking at this particular conference.
The true value of any trainer in our industry comes from, and I have, in all humility, I have tried to do this ever since I started doing training 20 years ago. I have tried to make sure that whatever I delivered on any given day was the most effective way to do it that day. And a lot of times I'll find myself changing what I might have preached 5 years ago or 3 years ago. And in the present tense, much of what was taught even 3 years ago can't stand alone as a good training session because there's been such massive changes in the practices that are effective among top producers. In any industry, I don't care if you're selling cars, shoes, or commercial real estate, or you're selling services as a third-party recruiter, you really need to focus your development on best practices.
I think so. And I mean, because there's nothing that will also, I mean, you've got to look at the, does this person also bring ethical and informational, and I'm in regards to my practice, how can I also improve my business, as you were saying, in utilizing best practices?
Well, I think one of the things I learned over the years as I learned my trade as a recruiter and as I continue to evolve, I've learned that even as a trainer, I like to take training. I like to sit in and listen to what other people are doing and then I can sit back with my experience and say, yeah, that'll work or it won't. But I look at everything we do, whether it's the adoption of a tool or a system or a technique, and I look at it from the standpoint of, will this increase my profit?
Mm-hmm.
And does the time necessary to do it stand justified based on the increase in profit?
Now, let's also look, will it increase my profit? Does it stand justified? But also, is this good for my reputation of my business?
Well, I think ethics and morality are something no trainer can teach, and frankly, I don't think any trainer can strip it from someone. Locks don't keep thieves out. They just keep honest people honest. And if a trainer gets up and touts something that is unethical, illegal, or immoral, or fattening, I guess, if they get up and teach something like that, I don't think it takes much experience in this business to sit in an audience and listen to a speaker tell you do this or do that. If it strikes a chord in you that's, well, you know, wait a minute, is that legal?
Wait,
then the answer probably is it's not.
But hey, listen, you know as well as I, this job's pretty hard. And if somebody's out there with a, say, like let's put a PhD behind their name, or is touted as an expert in this industry, or has been calling themselves the most amazing, you know, bee or whatever, okay, in the industry, okay, like they're the spelling bee champion of the industry, okay. people are going to look at those guys and what they're saying, even if it's unethical, and even if it makes them feel nervous or upset, they're going to say, well, you know, everybody else is saying it's okay, and it's making me tons of money, so it must be okay. And you'll try to justify it and rationalize it.
Well, Karen, there's a difference between training and entertainment.
That's true.
Well, I believe in an old saying that comes from many, 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 many years ago, that predates my date of birth, that training without coaching is nothing more than entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So if a person stands there and says, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this, and they can't point out specific examples of how they, as a practitioner, use that, how it benefited them, and what it produced.
Mm-hmm.
You need to raise an eyebrow and think hard about whether you're going to try that or not.
Absolutely. And you know what? Can I interject something else, too? There's got to be a level of honesty coming from other recruiters, too. From here on out, guys, you know, be the little kid and pipe up. If you think someone really isn't good, say it honestly. This person really isn't this good. I know everybody else is saying this person is, but really they're not. I tried it, and it didn't work. It's not realistic.
I found over the years that when I'm asked that very question, I have found that it's equally effective to withhold my opinion.
Just be quiet?
Yeah. If someone says, do you think so-and-so is good, I'll just say I'd rather not comment.
Well, that's a good way. I mean, that's just as good as an answer. You know, but you say, I'd rather not comment, because if you thought they were good, you'd say, yeah, they were. But, you know, I mean, it's just be honest. Just come up and say something or like what Doug said, say, I'd rather not comment. But it's time that people stop spending $2,000 or $3,000 on an erroneous material that has not been practiced, that is not realistic. I can tell you, I can think of at least three trainers right now that I have seen their material literally in my hand, and I'm like looking at it and go, I know for a fact it doesn't work.
Let me ask Doug this, because we're starting to run a little low on time.
Okay.
Doug, I know that you have some training coming up, because I'm on your email list. Talk to me a little bit about the kind of things you have coming up.
Well, actually, they're in motion at the moment. I have it's in its fifth iteration now. I have a course that was created, and it's funny we were talking about all this, because actually the genesis of this course I'm doing, called The Art of the Recruiting Masters, was generated as an answer to a need in the industry that has never been met. There are a lot of boot camps you can go to where you go spend a couple days or a full day in an intense kind of training seminar where someone, you know, marshals you through the process and the techniques. Or there are CDs you can buy, which I've created and sell, that could help you. But what's been missing is something where you can literally go through a collegiate-level course. You take a class once a week. You're lectured on what you need to do. You're given the tools, the forms, the steps, the techniques. You're given an opportunity at the end of that session to do live questions and answers. This class is accessible outside of normal business hours, so it doesn't interrupt your call time. And then later in that week, for another hour, you have the opportunity to participate in a live discussion with everyone that's in that class. And this goes for 10 weeks. And in the course of that 10 weeks, I teach everything that you need to know to run a world-class recruiting practice. And this is the culmination of what has been so dramatically changed about this process just in the last 3 years. And so as I was looking around the industry, because I go to a lot of conferences, I speak at a lot of conferences, I speak in a lot of venues, I see a piece here and a piece there, but for a practitioner that's struggling because their practices aren't working for them anymore, or for a new recruiter who hasn't had substantial training yet, substantive training, then it's hard to cherry-pick a half a dozen or even 10 sessions out of what's available and try to, you know, knit or sew that together into a logical, effective, contiguous sort of process that you can use without error, without being led down any garden paths, or without, and as we've been talking about, inheriting misinformation. So I created this course modeled after a major college graduate program where it's a virtual class, and you can take it worldwide. I've had people in this class from Singapore, New Zealand, Australia, UK, South Africa. It's a webinar-based program. It's interactive and live. The classes are limited in size so that everybody has ample opportunity for interactive participation and interaction with me. And it's been very successful. It's actually today is the first of the next 10 weeks.
Okay.
It starts on Tuesdays at 7 Eastern.
Well, you know, as somebody who's taken your classes, I will tell you, I would suggest it. As I said, I learned this industry. I remember spending a week taking your classes, that these tapes were like 10, 20 years old, but they were so good. And I really suggest to people that you would want to take. This guy has been my mentor. One of the things that I was telling Jim earlier that I had mentioned about Doug and why I really like this guy is not only will he, when you take his class, but he'll even remember. He'll remember who you are, and he'll be able to walk you through it.
Hey, Doug, give us a website link to people can where people can go to get more information about your class.
Oh, well, that class in particular has a dedicated website called recruitereLearning.com, and everything's there. I mean, you can enroll in it. You can see the class dates. You can see the context of each class and all the features and benefits of the course. I have a parallel course, though, that I also created based upon the same epiphany. One of the greatest competitive edges that any corporate or third-party recruiting function has to avail itself of is focused, skilled researchers. And when I say that, I mean that in a much more global definition than someone who gathers names or is doing nothing but sourcing. Sourcing is a small component of what we teach in this class. It's a 5-week class. It's only one day a week, and it's on Wednesdays in the late afternoon, so the researchers can take it at the end of the day rather than have to disrupt their personal life. And it's called the Researcher's E-Course. I kept it very generic. It teaches the comprehensive role of a researcher functioning in either environment. And we've, again, we're in the fourth iteration of that class, and we've had a great deal of success with it. We've had a great deal of positive feedback and success with the recruiting firms and the recruiting departments who have added researchers. You know, we're doing more in that class than teaching how to find passive candidates, which seems to be, I look at these offerings, it's like, that's what you learn if you want to go take a webinar. Well, we teach that. There is an entire module of the 5 weeks dedicated to nothing but the technology issues, which is being handled at the moment by one of my colleagues in the industry, Mark Berger. And, you know, I intend to change that as it goes through these iterations and bring in new perspectives. But I think that this 5-week class is very unique in the sense that no one really knows much about the full function of a researcher. They might know how to do a Boolean search, or they might know how to pick up a phone and go get a name from someone, but do they know how to functionally act as an extension of the recruiting function, giving that search consultant or that corporate recruiter more time to create results rather than spending their time handling details and minutia?
Very
and
cool.
So, yeah, I mean, for third-party recruiters, frankly, it'll double your income. I can say that without hesitation because that's a very conservative estimate.
And if he says it, it's going to be true.
But that's also available at a site similar to the other called researchereLearning.com.
Very cool. Well, Doug Beabout, it's been a pleasure having you here in the lounge.
Oh, my pleasure is mine.
Thanks for being here at a moment's notice.
Oh, that's quite all right. I got to get back to my calls, but I appreciate the time, folks.
Not a problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this show. You've been a wonderful audience. If you like what you heard, love what you heard, or just plain hate what you just heard, let me know. Your feedback matters. You can reach me through my website at jimstroud.com/podcast. That's jimstroud.com/podcast. So until next time, I'm Jim Stroud, and you're not.
Radio, Radio, Radio Talent Zoo. Innovative audio on demand.